Father, we thank you, Lord. You have been so wonderful to us, brought us through last year, and here we are in this new year, already day three. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you, Lord, the glory. We want to thank you, Lord, as we fellowship together today. Let the words of our mouths, the thoughts of our hearts, your meditations, and anything else that we do, let it be to your glory, Lord. And as always, we declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple, even so now. And we give you all the glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, I'm going to give a very brief exhortation, but I want to really get into thanksgiving and testimonies, from last year especially, and new expectations for this year, what we are believing God for and things like that, but more so what we are thanking God for, what he has brought us through. But first, let me just share a quick word on, the past, the present, and the future. Or you can think of it as yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Touched on this before, but it's always, I think of this anytime, because it calls for reflection, especially when we're going into, the start of a new year, always calls for reflection. There's always the past, and we are in the present, and then, the future is there as well. Three dimensions of time, past, present, and future. Well, we know that we, as human beings, can be in only one dimension at a time. God, on the other hand, is in all three at the same time. The past, the present, the future, it's all the same to him. Now, for a prophet, God can take them into the past and the future, if he so chooses to do so. But for the most of us, we can only be in one zone at a time, and that's the present zone. We cannot be in the past, and we cannot be in the future. We can only be in the present. What does that mean? Well, that means we got to live in the present. We can't live in the past. Sometimes we try to relive our past, and as I said the other day, putting her finger on that rewind button and constantly rewinding, the past is the past. It's gone. Yesterday is gone. We said yesterday also that, look, when you're driving, we got a lot of gear in the car, mirrors everywhere. But the rear view mirror, it's there, but at best, it's for occasional glance. If you are constantly looking into that rear view mirror and don't keep your eyes on the road ahead, liable to get into a crash. So we know that, but it is useful. You got to occasionally glance, behind you. It's part of defensive driving to see what's going on. But it's just an occasional quick glance, and then you keep your eye right back in front of you, see what's ahead. So, likewise, the past is the past, 2025 especially, but there were, as we glance back, a number of things that we can praise God for. And so you're going to have the opportunity to do that today. We can also glean from the past. We can use the past victories and things that God has done for us in the past to gain and, garnish strength from that for the present conflict. David did that when he was facing Goliath. He remembered how the Lord helped him with the bear and the lion. That gave him courage to go up against Goliath. So if we're going to glance quickly in the rear mirror at the past, we should look for those moments that brought glory to God in our lives. That so we can use that to encourage ourselves for where we are now. And what we're looking forward, whatever we're looking forward for towards, you can glean testimonies of yesterday can help you for the present, and then also a brighter outlook for the future. If we believe that God had done some great things for us in the past, and we remember it, and we look at it briefly to see, wow, look at all the great things God has done, then it gives us hope even for tomorrow. Not just today, but also for tomorrow. But every day we can only be in today. When it strikes midnight and the clock rolls over to the next day, it will still be today. It's always today. So that's a reflection on how God wants us to understand life. You can't be in tomorrow. You can't do it. Always in today. So that's why the scripture says today is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6:2. Today, again, he says, if you hear his voice, Hebrews 3:16, harden your heart. There's always today. But you know, God always uses not only just today, but sometimes he will use tomorrow to encourage his people. For instance, there are scriptures where the people of God were going to, you know, dire situations. But the Lord will tell them tomorrow rather than today. He told Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20:20. That chapter of 2 Chronicles 20. He told them, you know, tomorrow you go down against them, you know, and such and such. And the Lord will fight for you. But he didn't say today, but he said tomorrow. In that case, you know, when the word of the Lord comes for us, to us today, give us hope for tomorrow, we have opportunity to do something about it today. That's opportunity to believe and to worship. That's exactly what Jehoshaphat did. He believed the word of the Lord, and then he told everybody else to believe. Because he had opportunity between now and tomorrow that God promised, well, you can do, you know, you can praise the Lord for the victory that's ahead if you believe what he said. You know, so, but sometimes he says, God will say today as well. You know, when the children of Israel were at the Red Sea in Exodus 14, the Lord said today, and tomorrow. He said, well, today, God will give you victory over these, your enemies. And tomorrow, you won't see them anymore, basically. These Egyptians that you see today, you will not see them anymore hereafter. I mean, so there are these dimensions that God, you know, deals with us in. We just have to appropriate whatever measures we need out of the graces of God. The graces of God to us in the past, the grace of God to us now, the promises of God to us in the future. You know, anything that we can use to strengthen our position. But be careful when you glance back in the rearview mirror, because the enemy is always at hand to try to show you your distresses, your failures, and so on, instead of bringing the successes. People are so quick to remember bad things sometimes rather than the good things. We saw that in this story of the children of Israel multiple times. You know, they reflect on their current challenges, but forget all the great deliverances that the Lord has done for them in the past. You know, but I want you to be encouraged in the things that God had done for us in the past. That's why we give testimony. That's why we remind ourselves. Use that for today. Look forward to tomorrow. Tomorrow, the prophet said to Jehoshaphat, go down against them and told them where you will find them at the end of the brook. You know, and then as soon as Jehoshaphat heard that, we're told in verse 18 that he bowed his head down the ground and he worshipped. So if the word of the Lord comes to you today to give you hope for the future and better days ahead, well, then you ought to rejoice and praise the Lord. Now, tomorrow, you know, God will do great things. You know, there's also places in the Bible, like 2 Kings chapter 7. There's a story there that Elisha, you know, gave a word of the Lord of something that's going to happen tomorrow in the land. Some tremendous abundance that the Lord was going to bring, but he said tomorrow. He didn't say today. So between now and that tomorrow, well, what are you going to do about it? There will be some people that will believe the word of the Lord, and there will be others that won't believe. you know, so either way, what are you going to do? Well, you make your choice. Are you going to be among those that we believe the word of the Lord for tomorrow? I'll give you many examples of tomorrow. 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 1. We've already talked about 2 Chronicles 20, verses 16 to 17. The Lord said tomorrow there. Even while they were in Egypt, there was a couple of times when the Lord said tomorrow. Let's take a look at, you know, Exodus chapter 8 and, you know, verse 23. He said, I will put a division between my people and thy people. Tomorrow shall this sign be. You know, so at times that God might promise you something for the future. And, but, you know, most of the time it is to give us the, strength. You know, you gotta have something to live for. If there's a promise of a better tomorrow, then it'll give you strength today, you know, and that's why God, you know, does some of those things. Now, there are other places where he said something like, you know, tomorrow, give us, grace for you to believe. And also Exodus chapter 9, we see in verse 5, you know, the Lord said, the Lord shall sever between cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt. There shall nothing die of all that belongs to the children of Israel. And the Lord appointed a set time, saying, tomorrow the Lord shall do this thing in the land. You know, and so when the morrow came, the Lord actually did do it. You know, so there can be promises of tomorrow. You say, well, you know, but right now I'm in distress. Well, yeah, the promise can come to give you hope for tomorrow. Yesterday, like I said, it's already gone. Today is what we have, but we can also believe, you know, God for, you know, tomorrow. Praise the Lord. Now, here is another way that the Lord can give you, promise about tomorrow. He may not use the word point blank tomorrow. He might just, you know, talk about the future in a little bit, you know, so. And that's throughout the scriptures, we see that. For instance, in Psalm 102 and verse 13, thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion. It looks like he's talking about something future, but before he finishes that thought, he brings it right about to now. He said, well, for the time to favor her, the set time has come. So even though he talks about something in the future, he says, well, it is time. And there are many promises that we see in the Bible, you know, for the future, but also, you know, it deals with the present at the same time. There's a powerful scripture in Psalm 30 and verse 5 that deals with both, you know, both the present and the future in terms of what we're going through. And it says, well, sorrow may endure for the night. So when you're in the night, that's right now. You can look forward to joy coming in the morning. That's tomorrow. You know, so yesterday is there, today is there, tomorrow can be there, but we got to use these dimensions to our benefit. You know, while I'm going through the night, I encourage myself that joy is coming in the morning, that this night cannot last forever, and that whatever I'm going through will pass, and so on and so forth. You strengthen yourself with that and encouragement as you go through. And then, you know, you also remember that, look, I've been through situations like this, and God brought me through before. And also about tomorrow, the purpose, I mean, the process of enlargement for the future. We dealt with that yesterday, where God said, you know, to Abraham, you know, from where you are, from the place where you are, that's today. You know, in Genesis chapter 13, you know, verses 14 and 15. From the place where you are, that's today. I want you to look around you and so forth. For all the land that you see, shall I give you? That's tomorrow. You know, so today, from today till tomorrow, you know, God deals with it in our lives in many different ways. And there are many promises of God in the, you know, in the future. But You know, the problem is sometimes even the promise of God that God says, even though it's future, it's now. Sometimes we forget to appropriate it for the now. Kind of like Psalm 102 verse 13. He said, thou shalt, which you know, looks like it's future, but he said the time is now. And you know, so we got to get into it, you know, for now. And when the Lord said, you know, that, you know, I'm going to give you whatever you can believe God for, even though it's future, you can also start believing now, because he said from the place where you are. So the action starts now. We may see the results later. A couple of weeks ago, we dealt with, you know, powerful lessons here on today's testimonies, tomorrow's victories. And how did we do that? Well, we used Revelation 12:11 that says they overcame the devil by the word of their testimony. So the word of your testimony today, which is what we're going to do in a few minutes, the word of your testimony today can become a powerful weapon in your hand for the battle that you are going through in order to bring you victory for tomorrow. See, that's how it works. Now, like I said, as far as God is concerned, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, you know, gives us, you know, God's dimensions. He says, let's read verses 14 and 15 of Ecclesiastes 3. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God does it so that men should fear before him. Now, that which has been, which is past, is now. So the past is now, that's with God. And that which is to be, which is present, has already been, which is past. So with God, the past is now, the future is past. And, you know, God even brings to pass, you know, require the thing that is past. I mean, this is the dimension God can operate all those dimensions. Now, this should give us confidence that God knows, even in scripture says the Lord declares the end from the beginning. You know, God knows the future. So whatever I'm going through now, here's the faith that you need to understand. It that the Lord already knew about it. Isaiah chapter 46, verses 9 and 10. Remember the former things of old. See? So sometimes you remember the old things. But not because you the devil to bring it up against you and say, well, you see, that didn't work. No, it's for you to remember his testimonies of old. For I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning. So God can do that. Now, that gives me confidence. Did you know that there was a time many years ago, the Lord revealed this thing to me that God, the way he answers prayers. And I said, wow, yeah, you know, you can be here today praying about something because God saw this day long ago. Think of yesterday, 2 weeks, 1 month, 1 year. I mean, God already knew it. You know, so there's no situation that takes him by surprise. So if you find yourself suddenly in a situation and you're thinking, how can I get out of it? Remember, God saw that situation before you got there. And all you got to do is figure out a way to get into his presence to see what he sees and hear what he hears and to learn from him what he already knows, because nothing takes him by surprise. He's already been there. The prayer that you are praying today, you know, and sometimes I use that to encourage myself, because the scripture says, you know, blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord, his heart is fixed. He will not be afraid of evil tidings, you know. So, you know, somebody in the family travels and you can't hear from them and you are panicking and so on. Well, think about this. Before the situation which you think is troublesome is, you know, before you got there, God was already there. So the prayer that you're going to pray today, rather than a prayer of panic, you can change it and say, Lord, I thank you because you foresaw this situation even since last week or whenever, how far back your faith can go. The Lord foresaw it. So he already made a provision for it. So I don't panic because I know that, you know, God already foresaw it. Even when we make mistakes or our children make mistakes, I get them into problems. Before that mistake happened, God foresaw it. And he already made a provision. Did you know that God foresaw the fall of man before there was even any earth or man made? And he made provision. Bible said the lamb was slain before the world began. He made provision for it. You know, so God always knows way ahead. And not only that, he knows, he doesn't forget anything because he has perfect recall, if you want to call it that. But his own is actually called foreknowledge. That's foreknowledge of all things for those whom he did foreknow. So his own is foreknowledge. And he never forgets anything. So once he, you know, he's here, he has seen the future, he knows about it. He never forgets, made provision for it. And he can always guide and direct us. So let's use these things to comfort ourselves today. I wanted to go through this very quickly. That's why I'm rushing through what I'm saying, because I want to leave a lot of time for people to give their testimonies today. But I did want to give you this short word to give you confidence that, you know, your yesterday, today, and tomorrow, your past, your present, your future, they're all working together in God's hands. Your past is like yesterday, you know. Your present is today, and the future is tomorrow. But we don't know the future, but God does. And here's another element of faith, if you can believe it. Because God sees the future, and he knows the future, but I don't. But I have faith in him. Then with my faith, I can almost approximate, I've taught these lessons in the past, I can, with my faith, almost approximate God's foreknowledge. Yeah, because he has foreknowledge, I have faith. You know, God already seen everything, but I don't know everything, but I know him. So I have my faith in him, and by my faith in him, I can use his word, yeah, to even shape my future. Praise the Lord. You know, so as we think and as we reflect over the past, think of the goodness of the Lord. When I think of the goodness of the Lord, one song says, you know, think of the goodness of the Lord. Think of the things that he has done. Think of the victory over the lion. Think of the victory over the bear as you face Goliath today. Or those victories over the in the past, over those situations, which at the time when you were in those situations, you know, it was unthinkable that you could go in hand-to-hand combat with a lion that had a prey in his mouth. How are you going to do it? It was unheard of, you know. But he did it, but the Lord was with him. Well, when he went up against the bear, those bears, when they rise up like that and pound their chest and so forth, I mean, it can take you and body slam you and crush you completely, or give you a bear hug and break all your bones. How are you going to get out of his hands? It was, you know, almost unthinkable, but he did. And so now he's facing another unthinkable situation. What's he going to do now? Well, remember what the Lord did in the past. That's it. And use that to garnish strength for the present conflict. Praise the Lord. So that's how we use our yesterday. Now, when the devil comes up against you, here's one more thing I want to say. And brings up your failures of the past, which he always will do. And that's what he does. And he's good at it. What you tell? What I tell him, what? That was then, but this is now. You know, that was then, you know, but this is now. You say, well, you couldn't do it yesterday and you failed. You tried it before. I say, yeah, that was then, but this is now. Now, you got to always have an answer, not only for people, but also for the devil. You know, tell you anything, you have an answer for him. Well, that was then, but this is now. This is a new day. Glory to God. Yeah, so I'm not going to, you know, wallow in past defeats, but I'm going to believe God, you know, for now, because now is the day of salvation. Praise God. As long as it is called now and as long as it's called today, salvation of the Lord is present with you. We'll pull you out of the miry clay, pull you out of the bear's hog, pull you out of the hand of the lion, deliver you out from Goliath, whatever it is, God is able and he's present. He said it this way, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Furthermore, he said in Isaiah 43:2, when you pass through, I'll be with you. It's not that he will only be waiting for you on the other side. We know you are passing through, which means you get there. But not only will he be waiting for you on the other side, he will be right there with you all the step of the way, all the steps of the way. He will be there, you know, and then he guaranteed that you'll make it, you know. So whether it's the fire, you'll make it. Whether it's the floods, you'll make it because he'll be right there with you. So whenever we are feeling all alone, well, think again. You know, the Lord is with you. You are never alone. Jesus said in John 8:29, he said, I'm never alone. My Father is with me. You know, why? Because I do those things that are pleasing his sight. Jesus said that himself too, you know, concerning us. He gave his testimony in John 8:29. Well, he gave us the same challenge in John 14:21. Say, if you do the things that please me, I will be there with you. I will come to you and I will sup with you. So we're never really alone. He's always there with us, you know, and sometimes panic will cloud our vision to see, to allow us to know that he's there with us. So don't panic. And the reason we panic is because we're not prayed up. That's why we panic. If you are prayed up, there's no reason to panic because you already prayed about the situation. Praise the Lord. I mean, say, for instance, you know, taking a trip, you prayed about it, you spent hours to beat down the foes that may rise up against you on that trip. And the Lord has given you the answer of victory, you know, and then all of a sudden you are in the plane and something tries to go wrong. You know, there will be different reactions. Some people will panic because they are not prayed up. Others will know that the Lord is with them. See, while you may pray, you won't panic because you say, well, Lord, I know you already foresaw this and you already answered my prayer and you already promised me that you'll see me through. And so you have confidence when you're going through the storm. The disciples panicked because they didn't spend time in prayer. Jesus didn't panic because he already prayed. Spent a lot of time in prayer that morning. He already prayed. The storm or whatever wasn't going to bother him. He's just going to sleep through it. And so when we spend time in his presence, we gain strength. And whatever comes against us, we're able to win. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm going to say a quick prayer over the room. And then I'm going to yield my mic. I want you to give your testimonies from last year, prior, and the past, and things that God has given, graces that he has given, victories that he has given, and different things like that, so that we can be encouraged and, you know, for the journey that's ahead for this. And in the later days, we'll talk more about, you know, how we prepare for what lies ahead, you know. But today I want to just leave that as it is. So Father, I thank you, Lord, for your children again, all of us that are here. Thank you for great testimonies and things that you've done for us in the past, particularly this past year. And Lord, as we are now in day 3 of this new year, looking back at all the great things that you have done, we want to give you praise and give you testimony so that we may all be encouraged. And we know that the thoughts that you have for us, new expectations for what lies ahead and new declarations as well. And we know, Lord, that we've been declaring the good things, you know, for the past week or so, a couple of weeks, declaring what God is going to do for us. And everything that you have in store for us, we believe. You know, we believe that you are able to bring to pass your word because, you know, beautiful things are spoken of us. Beautiful things are written of us concerning the word of God. And you've given us also the grace, command the womb of the morning to make sure that things fall in line for us. The lines are falling unto me in pleasant places, the psalmist said. Well, we're not going to leave it up to chance and let the lines just fall. We're going to direct the lines to fall in pleasant places by the word of the Lord. And again, I say unto you, according to the words of Job chapter 14, that there is always hope for a better tomorrow. In Job chapter 14, verses 7 through 9, he said, there is hope of a tree, though it be cut down, and it looks like, you know, it's rotting and everything, and it looks like there's nothing going on. Well, there is hope that it will sprout again. There's hope that the tender branch again will come back alive. Even when the root is waxing old in the earth and dying, the stem of it seems like it's dying. Scripture says, yet through the scent of water, which you might receive today in an exhortation, in a share, you know, hear somebody else's testimony and so forth. It's like a scent of water that it give you grace for you to believe. And that tree that you're looking at that looks like it's dry and it's dying, Bible says it will bud again. Glory to God. So Father, as we encourage one another, we pray that everybody will be lifted up. Let the hands that hang down be lifted. Let the knees receive strength. Let the head that bow down be lifted up, for thou art glory, and lift up our head, and let your name be glorified. And we give you, Lord, praise and give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.